Aren't you thankful we can live in the overflow? Hallelujah. I know that many times that's by faith. We've all been there where it seems like, you know, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel, and even worse, with the empty barrels on top of us. It doesn't look good in the natural. But we don't walk by how things look in the natural. We have another set of eyes, and that's called the eye of faith. Hallelujah. And we have a higher law than what the economy of this world may say. And that's called the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Woo! We are living in the overflow. And I like one of those verses. It says, the bound are now set free. Everywhere we go, we see what? The victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, go ahead, wave at somebody, smile at them as you sit down. Glory to God. So excited to be here today. Are you happy to be here today? And so thrilled to be able to bring the Word of God. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. You know, He deals with everybody differently. But I just woke up, I think it was last week, and that phrase was just rolling around in my heart, living in the overflow. And it didn't look like it in the natural. If you look at your bank account, or maybe what may or may not be in the church account, but the Spirit of God was just telling me, go ahead, encourage yourself. Go ahead and declare it. You are living in the overflow. Hallelujah. So I decided, you know, I like to do a little research, and I just went online and I just put in, what does it mean to live in the overflow? I was astounded, really. I don't believe this came from a Christian organization, but I was astounded on what I found. It says this, to live in the overflow typically refers to living a life that is so full of abundance, whether spiritually, emotionally, materially, relationally, that it overflows and positively impacts others. The term is often used in spiritual contexts, particularly in Christianity, where it signifies living in the abundant blessing of God, such as love, grace, joy, and provision. Hallelujah. It suggests living in a state of such fulfillment that the excess naturally spills over to bless others. Woo! We say it around here a lot. We are blessed to be a blessing. Amen. We are so blessed. The blessed people call us blessed. So we're going to build our case today through looking at several scriptures. The first one that we want to look at makes it real clear why Jesus came, and that is John 10:10, out of the Passion. It says this, a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But this is Jesus talking, but I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you what? Say it with me. Overflow. Hallelujah. If you were to talk to some Christians, you'd think that Jesus came to give us an abundance of tests, trials, sickness, torment, poverty. Some people live and their attitude is this. Now, I am really, really going to date myself, and I'm really going to point out what part of the country I grew up in. But if anybody besides me ever watched this old country show called Hee Haw? Oh, it was on out here. I didn't even know if it made it to the West Coast. But anyway, lot of funny characters in there. Minnie Pearl, I know none of you probably have no idea. Lulu. But anyway, they sang this song on there quite often. If it weren't for bad luck with a real draw, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. That's how some Christians face life. Oh, it's just terrible. Everything's gloomy. Everything's bad. God came to give me an abundance of bad things. No, that's not scriptural. That's not the heart of our Father. He came to give us an abundance of everything good. Hallelujah. The scripture points out in James chapter 1 verse 17, again out of the Passion, every gift God freely gives us is what? Good. I need a little more participation. It's what? Good and perfect. It's streaming down from the Father of lights who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness and is never subject to change. One of the references pointed out about this scripture where it says hidden shadow. It said this, it's an implication that there is nothing that you will ever find wrong with God. Nothing in him that could remotely appear to be evil, lurking, or hiding. He has no hidden agenda to punish us. You know, some people have this thought. Well, you know, God's up there in heaven and he's got this giant fly swatter. And if you do something bad, splat. You're a goner. Absolutely not. If God wanted to get us, we'd already be got. It's not his nature. It's not who he is. He's the author of good things. Hallelujah. He freely gives us good things. He doesn't have any bad things. He's not borrowing sickness or poverty from the devil. They don't operate together. He's not in cahoots with him. Let me just help you with your doctrine. Some people say, well, I just don't know what's God. I don't know what's devil. You know what? It is simple. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Not difficult to identify these things that show up in our life. And if it's bad and it's the devil, what are we supposed to do with it? Well, talk about it, you know, accept it into our life. No, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So we know that sickness, all these bad things are the devil. When they show up, we don't bed down with them. We rise up. If they show up, rise up and take your God-given authority. Declare, I'm not having it. Amen? So we want to look at John 10:10 in another version, the Amplified. The thief comes only in order, here it is again, to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his agenda. But Jesus, oh glory to God, he said, I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. Here it is again. Read that last part. To the full till it overflows. Hallelujah. Abundance of overflowing blessings of God. Let me give you some definitions of abundance. Abundant in quantity, superior in quality, far above sufficient and adequate, more than enough, beyond measure, limitless, exceeding, surpassing. Anybody happy about that? That's what he came to give us. Glory to God. And he said, I have come that you may have and enjoy life. Life is a journey. And we need to learn to enjoy the trip. It's not every day that things happen in your life that just put your feet to dancing. It's not every day that you just have this, you know, this sense of, you know, euphoria and overwhelming joy. But he said we're supposed to enjoy life. If we're not enjoying life, we're not hooked up to the source of life. Hallelujah. What kind of life are we talking about anyway? Well, the Greek word there for life is Zoe. Anybody ever name your kid Zoe or know somebody named Zoe? It's a good name anyway. Greek word Zoe. And it literally means the God kind of life. Life as God has it. Let me ask you a question. How do you think life is in heaven? Do you think that God's gotten old and decrepit and he's on a medical leave? Do you think that the gates of pearl are falling down? The streets of pure gold are in need of repair? Absolutely not. Heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven is a glorious place. Heaven is a beautiful place. Heaven is illuminated with the very light and life of God. If you have a loved one there, we just recently had a precious sister, Denise, that went home to be with the Lord. And some of her family and friends are here today. Let me just tell you, it's hard. We don't sorrow as those that have no hope, though. We miss them. We love them. But I just pray that God will give you a glimpse of what they're doing today. Woo! Heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven is a real place. I just feel led to say this. When my mother passed away very young, she was only 51 years old. I was 21. And it was difficult. She was a godly woman. She loved the Lord with all of her heart, but didn't have that revelation of grabbing hold of healing by faith. And so she went home to be with the Lord. I was distraught. I was laying on my bed one day, all these many years ago. She passed away in 1976. That's a long time ago. But I remember it. I'm laying on my bed and I'm like, Lord, I miss my mom. And he said this in my spirit. When you miss your mom, just draw closer to me and you'll be in the same place that she's in. And I literally saw myself ascend to the throne room of God. And I saw myself raising up my hands and worshiping him. And I looked over to my right and there was my mother right next to me, worshiping God. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is a beautiful place. Hallelujah. There's no darkness there. There's no sickness there. And you know what his intention is for us? To have days of heaven on the earth. To tap in to such life and the light of God that we are enjoying the benefits that they enjoy in heaven. We can have them right here, right now. Some people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'll be happy. No, happy is the people whose God is the Lord right now. When I get to heaven, you know, I'll be this, I'll be that. Don't wait till you get to heaven. Be it now. Enjoy it now. All the rich benefits of being a believer. One of our dear friends, Keith Hershey, he had this little acrostic for life. And this is how we're supposed to live. Life, L, living in fullness every day. Giving life away. Living in fullness every day. Giving life away. We can't give life away if we're bone dry. We can't overflow if our cup, our spirit, is empty. too many Christians want to overflow without going through the process of being filled with the Spirit, being filled with the Word of God. Whatever is in our hearts in abundance is what's going to overflow and extend outward in our life. The Bible is very clear how important it is to put good things into our spirit. I'll just quote the last part of Matthew chapter 12, verse 34 in the Amplified. We'll just look at the last part. For out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I heard someone say one time, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaketh instead of speaketh. So whatever is in us in abundance will overflow out of our mouths and be evident to all those around us. So to live in this blessed life, this abundant life, He came to give us. We got to put Him, His Word, in our hearts in abundance, so that when a crisis of life comes, we don't panic. We don't start speaking all of what we see in the natural, but we start declaring the Word. It's the Word that changes the situation. Amen. Someone said this: increase happens on the inside, overflow happens on the outside. To have the kind of overflow we want, we got to put the right things inside. Increase happens on the inside, overflow happens on the outside. Let me read you another quote. Living in overflow is a dynamic, lifelong journey that begins with you and extends outward. As you grow in faith, gratitude, and generosity, you will find your life not only full, but spilling over to bless others. Everybody raise your hands with me, and I'm going to have you declare this. Say, here I am, Lord. I want to increase more and more so I can live in the overflow and be a blessing to all those around me. Amen. Say amen if you agree. Hallelujah. Let me give you some definitions of overflow. A flood, an excess, to spread or pour over, to run over the brim, the top, or the banks. Well, when I read that, immediately I thought of Psalms 23, verse 5. I know y'all are familiar with it. Verse 5 of Psalms 23 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Hallelujah. Notice a few things there. He's got a table prepared for us, even in the presence of our enemies. You may have been taught when you were growing up that it's rude to eat in front of somebody without offering them some food. I mean, that's how we were on the farm. If people showed up and we were eating, well, guess what? They sat down and ate with us. But it is not rude to eat in front of the devil. It's scriptural. Hallelujah. He's got a table prepared before us, right in the presence of the enemy. You need to come to the Father's table and partake. We, as believers, we've got a place. We've got a chair at the Father's table. And guess who's not invited? The devil is not an invited guest to come and feast at the Father's table. But what he is good at and what his intent is, you're sitting there and you're eating and you're feasting at the Father's table. And he's in the background going, you know, doing all of this stuff, trying to distract you. What is he doing? He's trying to get you up from the table. He's trying to get your chair. Don't give him your place. Woo! You keep on eating, even if he's lying and he's throwing all this junk at you. Don't be distracted and don't be impressed at the strategies of the enemy. You just sit down and you just chow down on the word of God, the blessings of God, right in front of him. Hallelujah. Then, out of the passion, Psalms 23:5, you anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of until my cup, read it, until my cup, what? Wow. Notice, the psalmist David did not say, until my cup is half full, three quarters full. No, he said, until my cup overflows. Hallelujah. We serve a running over the top kind of God. Some people may say, well, doesn't God know when the cup is full? Why does he keep pouring in? Well, he wants us to get a clear picture of who he is and how he operates. If I had a cup up here and I didn't want to make a mess on the carpet, I would give you an illustration of a cup. We pour a little water in there, half full, looking good. We pour a little water in there all the way up to the top. But then I keep pouring. If I keep pouring, it's going to spill off of this pulpit. It's going to run down the floor. And if I had a bunch of gallons of water, eventually it'd even run out into the street. That's our God. He wants us to view him as extravagant. That he is into abundance. He's a much too much kind of God. He is not a little dab will do ya kind of God. I've been reading in the Old Testament. You know, some of the books in the Old Testament, like Leviticus, they're a little hard to get through in the natural. I said something to Pastor the other day. Well, if you ever need to know how to get rid of mold, I can tell you. I mean, they gave him a lot of instructions. But there's things in there, even about building the temple. Very specific instructions, dimensions, materials that display God's excellence, God's extravagance. There's no plywood or particle board in the place. I mean, it was built with the cedars of Lebanon. It was lined with silver and with gold. Precious stones and jewels are all over the place. Even the cups and the utensils out of pure gold. I'm telling you. Some people say, well, that's not necessary. Obviously, it was. God wanted his people to get this picture of abundance and of provision. Hallelujah. Even the breastplate that the priest wore. I looked this up last night. Full of precious stones. One that represented each of the 12 tribes. And there wasn't any fake or lab-made diamonds in the bunch. It was real, precious stones. Topaz, rubies, emeralds, sapphire, diamond. I thought about it. I would have liked to have been a part of the tribe of diamonds. Hallelujah. That sounds good. Actually, I am a part of the tribe of sapphire. That's my birthstone for September. But that That's how God operated. Those stones, can you imagine? And they weren't teeny little specks. They're big on the breastplate of the priest, and they lit up. God was saying, look at how glamorous I am. Look at how awesome I am. As I was reading about all those different jewels, I was thinking, man, I need to get Pastor Mark a jeweled suit coat so that he comes up here and we got to put on our shades. He's just glistening with the glory of God and the reflection off of those diamonds and rubies and sapphire. Don't you know that got the attention of the people of God? God did not spare any expense or quality in his instructions to his people. If some Christians had been in charge of even the creation, the earth wouldn't be as beautiful as it is. The earth would be a boring, blah, plain looking place. No technicolor. Maybe one color of flowers, a couple of plants. All the trees look the same. Maybe a fish or two in the sea. Probably nothing flavorful to eat. But hallelujah, look at the vast resources God has put even in the earth. Look at the beauty that he created for us to enjoy. We got mountains. We've got oceans. We've got streams. Hallelujah. We have forests. We have desert. It all has its beauty. And it was put here and created by our loving Heavenly Father for us to have and enjoy life. Glory to God. I'm glad. Aren't you glad that we have such an awesome Father? Hallelujah. And he has a table spread for us where the saints of God are fed. We talked about it. Come to the Father's table. Everything good to eat is on the table. Psalms 23 verse 5 out of the Message says, if you serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. There it is again. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. I'm so thankful that our Father is not into diet plates. On his banqueting table is not dry chicken and wilted salad. Absolutely not. It's not a little bit of peace. No, I see it large platter of peace. If you're dealing with some torment or anxiety, come and sit down at the Father's table. Say, pass me that giant platter of peace. Hallelujah. If you've lost your joy, sit down at the Father's table. And I don't know why, but I've always felt like it was like this. And say, give me that big old jug of joy. Don't start drinking in of the joy of the Lord. If you're dealing with symptoms in your body, sit down at the Father's table. And you're going to see this loaf that so long it covers the whole table. The Bible says healing is a children's bread. Woo! Start breaking off some pieces of that loaf of healing. Glory to God. All we need, all we desire, all we want is on the Father's table. But we have to come and partake. We've got our part. We've got our responsibility. And it's saying, with enjoying the blessings, we have our part to play. And one, I mean, there's so many ways you could go, but one that stood out to me, if we want to walk in overflow and in abundance, we are going to have to be faithful. We like to quote this scripture, Proverbs 28:20. The last part of it says, a faithful man will what? Read that. Abound with blessings. We all want to abound, right? But it starts with being faithful. Faithful to walk with the Lord. Faithful to act on His word. Faithful to use our gifts and talents that He gave us to serve in the kingdom of God. And yes, faithful to give of our treasures. I'm not talking about going out in the backyard and trying to dig up some treasures. I'm talking about money, honey. That's your treasure. We got to be faithful to give of our substance. And when we do, it puts us in position to be overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Let me give you some scriptures to build a case on that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, again out of the Passion. Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace, so that you will have what? More than enough of everything, every moment and in every way. He will make you, read it with me, overflow with abundance in every good thing that you do. When I read that the other day, that last phrase, every good thing that you do. Christianity is not about works. Thank God. We're saved by faith and not by works, saved by grace. But we are expected to be doers of the word of God. Bible also says when we get to heaven, our works will follow us. If we want to overflow in every good thing, we got to do something. Every good thing that you do. Doing produces receiving. Amen? Getting kind of quiet in here. I'm not trying to bum anybody out, but this is just as much the word as the shouting scriptures we just read. If you haven't been faithful in any area, it's simple. Repent. Say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to be faithful in my walk with you. I'm going to be faithful to serve you. I'm going to be faithful in my church attendance. I'm going to be faithful in my giving. When we make that kind of commitment and we act on it, here's another promise from the Lord. You want to hear another one?
Yeah.
I know I've gone a while already, but guess what? I'm not done. So it's early. Luke 6, 38. Again, out of the Passion. Give stingily. No. Give generously. What's the result of us giving generously? And generous gifts will be given back to you. I like this part. Shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such, with such an overflowing measure. Whoo, it will do what? Run over the top. The measurement of your generosity becomes the measurement of your return. If you want a big harvest, plant a big seed. God put into motion the law of seed, time, and harvest. Every seed produces after its kind. And when God gets involved, it's going to be a running over return. It's what I like to call bumper crop stuff. You want to hear another definition from a farmer's daughter about a bumper crop? It means an unusually large and abundant harvest. It's when the amount of produce, like grains, fruit, or vegetables harvested, is much, much more than expected or typical. Woo! That sets my feet to dancing. Woo! God wants us to have a bumper crop where it is much, much more than we expected. It's good to plant a seed and you get a decent crop, but a bumper crop, woo-hoo-hoo, it's exceedingly abundantly, like Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly above all that we dare ask, think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Infinitely beyond. What can you imagine? Well, whatever you can imagine happening in your life, just put a little extra on it. That's what he wants to do. That's why a bumper crop, glory to God, walking in the overflow, living in the overflow. It's got a couple more scriptures, and they are good ones. This is his will for us, heart of the bay. Psalms 36:8 out of the Holman translation. They are filled from the abundance of your house. You let them drink from refreshing streams. Filled with abundance in your house. Of course, we have private infillings. It's wonderful to get in the presence of the Lord and rejoice and pray and bless him in your house. But let me just say this. I got a pastor's heart. I love you. I want you to know the truth. Nothing compares to the corporate anointing. Are you thankful for this house? There are streams of refreshing that flow here. There is an abundance of joy in this place. There's an abundance of God's presence in this place. There's an abundance of worship unto him. And as we do that corporately, as the prayer and the praise goes up corporately, you know what happens? The power of God begins to manifest up and down these aisles in your seat where you're setting. Thank God for the house of God. Hallelujah. Woo! Streams of refreshing. And when we come together and we're in his presence, we get filled. We get refreshed. And it begins to affect every single aspect of our lives. Another good scripture here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10, out of the Passion. Whoo! I'm happy. Then every dimension of your life will overflow. Say it again. Overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. Every dimension. That means you're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the field. You're blessed in your house. You're blessed in your family. You're blessed on your job. You're blessed in your body. You're blessed when you serve at church. You're blessed when you give your tithe and sow your offerings. Every dimension of our life will flow, overflow, woo, with blessings, glory to God. And don't you like it? And an uncontainable source of inner joy. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. Woo! The life that's living in the overflow. The life that's enjoying the blessings of the Lord's got joy unspeakable and full of glory. Ha, 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 ha. Woo! Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo! I want everybody to stand up. I'm going to lead you in a confession. We're going to solidify this message with speaking the word of God. Then I got a couple, one other scripture I'll probably share, but they're going to put this up on the screen for us. Can y'all see that? There we go. We're going to say it together. Are you ready?
Yes.
1, 2, 3. I am living in the overflow. It's a land overflowing with the goodness of God. I have a surplus of prosperity. I have more than enough. My storehouses are full and overflowing. I am furnished in abundance. I receive multiple streams of income. The Lord is increasing me more and more. My cup is running over. I am blessed beyond measure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All you blessed people, let's just rejoice for a minute. Woo! I am blessed beyond measure. Woo! On Thursday at Ladies' Prayer, it just kept coming out. It is harvest time. To me, overflow denotes harvest time. And imasubrita. This came out in prayer, and I believe it's a word for many in here today. Many have sown seeds for years. Yes, we're talking about financial seeds. And I was referencing, it came up in my spirit as we were praying under that unction where Jesus said, look out to the fields. They are white, ready to harvest. We know he was talking about the lost. But as we were praying, it just kept coming up in my spirit that it also referenced financial seeds. That many, many have zibokatata. Oh, Lord, that same unction that we had in prayer, let it come now. That dibosumbra. Many have faithfully tithed and given for years and years. And I believe that the Spirit of God is saying this. The fields are white unto harvest. Put in the sickle. Don't let your financial return die in the ground. Die in the field. Claim the return. Speak faith-filled words and rebuke the devourer from trying to steal your harvest. Amen? Anybody receive that? Hallelujah. Harvest time is happy time. Glory to God. And some of you may even be in this condition. Another verse that came up. You're standing up, you're good, right? Psalms 126. Let me read it to you real quick out of the message. It seemed like a dream, too good to be true. When God returned Zion's exile, we laughed, we sang. We couldn't believe our good fortune. We were the talk of the nations. God has been wonderful to them. God, yes, God has been wonderful to us. We are one happy people. This is a part I want to emphasize. Some of you may feel like, no, I'm not living in the overflow. No, it doesn't feel like harvest time. But this is a promise of the Lord. And now, God, do it again. Bring rain to our drought-stricken lives. So those who planted their crops in despair will shout, hoorah! Hoorah at the harvest. So those who went off with heavy hearts will come home laughing with armloads of blessing. Hoorah! Let's do some hurrahs. Hoorah! It's harvest time. We shout hoorah at the harvest. Glory to God. And then it said we're going to come home with armloads of blessings. That sounds like overflow. So put your arms out like this. Say, I receive my armloads of blessings. I'm a living in the overflow. Woo! Hallelujah! Let's do some rejoicing. Ha 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 ha! Ha 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 ha! Woo! Lord. Thank you, Lord. We shout it again. Hoorah! I like that. Hoorah!